Hello, folks. I'm Canadian Git, and I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes for moderation office hours. Welcome, everyone. I will be available to field questions on moderation, the mentor program, the guidelines more broadly, or, of course, as I always like to say, anything Resonite-related. You're certainly welcome to ask. I'll give you the best answer I can. If the off chance you give me a question I can't give you the best answer to, I'll try and point you in the direction of someone who can give you a better answer. If you're interested in asking questions for moderation office hours, I'd invite you to head up to the office hours questions forum, where we have a thread labeled moderation office hours and today's date. If you're having difficulty running that down, I'm going to drop a link to it both in the office hours general channel just north of the community meeting stage and then in the chat for this stage itself. Hope everyone's been having a fantastic weekend and a lovely spring so far. I know the weather's been a little bit temperamental around where I am. But what is April without at least a little bit of snow? Folks are asking if there's anything that's come up the past couple of weeks. I have things that have come up the past couple of weeks. One of the things I'd like to bring a PSA to today is the community news channel. This is not a moderation concern. It's a PSA that's generalized for all of the things happening in Resonite. They've asked me to bring to the moderation office hours just to get that message out there a little bit more broadly. We have a new wiki page stood up giving information for all users, all communities inside of Resonite, to be able to submit to get into the community news channel in this Discord. If you'd like to have your events, and I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. I see Nadraxa saying they only hear music. That is peculiar. Sorry for cutting my own PSA off here, but looks like we have slight technical issues. Can I get confirmation? It looks like other people can hear me talking. Thank you very much, Techno, for reaching out and asking them to come back in. Apologies for cutting off the PSA. Discord's been doing this a number of times over the last few weeks. We've had users come in and not be able to hear the speakers on the stage. It must be a bug on their end. That said, back to the PSA. We have a community news channel here, and it's something that a number of communities inside of Resonite have been making use for promoting their events. Everyone can get into that channel. If you have a community that you frequently run events for inside of Resonite, you want to invite other people into them. That's the sort of thing that you can get, you can use to advertise those events, broadcast it out to the community at large. There's a new There's a new Resonite Wiki page, I should say, that gives the instructions on getting hooked up to that channel if you'd like to do so. I'd encourage you both to check it out yourselves if you run a community event, or, of course, let other people know if they run community events. Nuki Raccoon asks, can we make the mentor gatherings a regularly advertised community event? I'm frankly surprised they're not. Back when I was kicking around with the mentor workshops, we frequently put them into at least meetups, if not that other channel. Are they not putting any kind of advertisement up for that anywhere? I will send that memo along to the mentor leads just to let them know that they're certainly welcome to contribute putting information about those events into them. An ideal example of the sort of thing we'd like to see promoted there. I'll just send a little note right now so I don't forget. Sorry for going silent. I didn't want to forget that one, so I went out to send the message right now. Shrimdalek asks, when will the mentor applications form reopen? Or what can be done to speed it up? Well, you can provide feedback here, and I can kick that over to the mentor lead so they can know that there's at least very certain that there's a large number of folks in the community who would like to make use of the mentor program and have a keen interest in it reopening. I can't, unfortunately, right now give you an ETA for that. Beyond, they are trying to restructure the mentor program to make it less, I don't want to say busy work intensive, reduce the complicated aspect of certain bits of it in terms of training and getting people ready to be a mentor. And that's while they're handling that restructuring, they've turned off applications because there's a lot of administrative overhead to deal with both bringing people in and changing the process with which you bring people in. I don't anticipate it to be a long-term affair, though, and it's certainly something they're working away at presently. Nuki notes that they talked to Wolfie about putting announcements up on Friday, and they said they should ask Veer. Hi, Veer. Yeah, Veer can't jump into the call right now, dealing with technical difficulties or busyness in the background, but I did notify them, so Veer certainly got the message and will clear out any roadblocks between the mentor leads and making those postings. We have many mentor questions today. Draconis asks, would it be a good idea to have a role for mentors in the Resonite Discord? All I can say on that from my personal knowledge is that we previously allowed mentors to display as mentors in the Discord and have a help channel where they could jump in to help users. We still have the help channel, of course, but I don't know what the status is on the current roles for mentors, whether they wanted to restrict that to people who have certain training, perhaps, or maybe have spent an X amount of time inside of the mentor program. I could not say, but I can certainly raise that question to them. And hopefully next week we can get an answer from Veer, who will either pull it back from the mentor leads or, of course, give his own take on it. I can certainly myself see at least some value in having the mentor role identifying users as helpful individuals inside of the Discord, though it's worth noting the same process I think happens regardless. Someone comes into our Discord, they go to the questions channel, they post a question that they're interested in getting answered. A mentor, green name or not, jumps in to help the user out. The user asked questions, the user got helped. We don't generally have people that are bad actors giving bad advice that we need to differentiate with a green name or a lack of a green name. We just have people who have questions and people who help them. That said, I understand why folks would want to be identified as a mentor. It's always nice to be able to at least show off, hey, you're here to help out new users, and have some kind of indicator of that being the fact. Shundalek asks, how are security moderation tickets handled? Are they going to moderators and then passed on to the dev team or some other process? It really depends on how you submit them. Generally speaking, yeah, the moderation team, in terms of like the volunteers that handle guidelines, are ill-suited to deal with security concerns as they roll down the line. If we get one of those in our inbox, we just tag the appropriate dev, send it over there. Though there's the possibility, of course, that you could submit it not through a broken guideline help topic, and that'll get categorized to individuals who are best suited to handle it. We do have a number of devs that are in the moderation side of things, have access to view the tickets, and those are individuals that are interested, well, A, to more broadly help moderation as a whole, and B, yes, devs interested in focusing on security-related issues. I see that Nadraxa still has difficulty hearing me. Shindelak clarifies, better worded, a support ticket in the security category, not moderation. Yeah, so when you submit a ticket inside of the ticket system, you have the ability to check or choose the help topic. One of the help topics you can pick is put it under the support category to report a security issue. If you use that one, it will tag the appropriate devs. They will see that there's whatever you've reported to them, and of course they can and put it into the queue to fix. If you don't use that, we still send it over there. Essentially, yes, no matter what, it'll get to where it needs to go. But if you appropriately categorize it when you submit it, it just makes that process a little bit easier. Alex, 2PI asks, I'm wondering if you know of any planned changes when it comes to rewarding active mentors from a really long time of helping people. For example, access to more memory, I assume storage without having to pay on the Patreon. To my knowledge right now, no, we don't have plans to provide compensation to the mentors. It's a strictly volunteer program for folks who'd like to self-identify as people who'd be interested in helping new users to the platform. Of course, we're always very thankful for the mentors that help out in this regard. We want to make sure that they get recognized on platform with different name colors, badges, things that identify that they have provided this volunteer service. But I don't believe we have any plans at this point to loop compensation into that system. Nuki asks, going back to a concern I brought a couple weeks ago, is there any progress on making the 16 plus age requirements better known before they join? This is modifications for folks unaware of the context while registering an account, allowing people to be aware of the restrictions that exist inside of ResNight as a whole, so they're not otherwise baffled if they loop around it, but run into that restriction further down the line. I don't think I have a progress report for changes coming down the line. I can't provide ETAs here generally, but it is something that is noted as a known concern. As a couple of other people are noting, yeah, we definitely do not have storage compensation for folks volunteering for the mentor program right now. And again, we don't generally have a plan for any sort of compensation going forward. It's a volunteer thing. If you'd like to be a mentor, you're more than welcome to be identified as such through a badge or name color. But generally, we don't have monetized benefits tied to the role. Of course, the future is long. I don't like to ever say never because of things like that. You can perhaps not submit it as a feature request, but see if there's other users interested in this more broadly. But it's again, not something we're planning at the moment. Chudlak asks, that serves as a question though, do moderators or any other volunteers other than mentors get benefits? And unless you consider the powers associated with being a moderator, i.e. the privilege of occasionally issuing account restrictions when the need arises to be a benefit, no. Volunteer roles are strictly volunteer roles, recognized on platform through badges, through name colors, of course your presence inside of this Discord for at least some of the roles, your presence in other Discords tied to volunteering, sort of the volunteer break room as we occasionally like to frame it, but no monetizable things are associated with those volunteer roles right now. A master says, one of my friends sent in a comment on GitHub issue a few days ago, but after 10 hours went by from their initial posting, and their comment was marked as spam. How does that happen? As from reviewing the comment, it did not look like spam. I am just mainly confused with what is considered spam and what is considered constructive criticism on GitHub and the issues within. I should certainly say that we always want to receive feedback, but it's quite possible if the feedback isn't relating to the necessary information to deal with a bug, or it might be considered irrelevant to the topic. Like, it could be placed in an incorrect location. I don't, of course, have the message in front of me right now, and so I have to make a guess. But I could see one of the most expected ways for something to be labeled as spam is simply it being in the incorrect location on the GitHub. Whip raises, I think, the follow-up concern here. GitHub marks comments as spam automatically. It doesn't matter what the repo owner is doing. If it's related to GitHub itself, I can't help you there. GitHub does things above and beyond my ability to comment or fix on. If you are running into issues unrelated to GitHub, one of the people you will want to reach out to if you're looking for further clarification if they've done something would be Shifty. Of course, all of the devs that work on the code as well would be viable candidates, but Shifty typically manages the GitHub and organization therein above and beyond everyone else. If GitHub's doing something weird, again, I please bring that to Shifty's attention too. Perhaps she can make GitHub be less weird, though I won't give you guarantees in that regard. GitHub might be doing something above and beyond what we can assist with. But if it's on our level, focus with Shifty. Nikki Vercunas, I've looked for the recordings of previous mod office hours, but I can't find them in Discord. Are some of them missing? Some might, if there was a week, because we had a week where there was a technical difficulty that I just did not record properly. Missed half of the communication going out, which that week unfortunately happened to be most of the answers. But generally speaking, you should be able to find all of them eventually on Prime's archive. Prime has been away for a couple weeks, so that might take a little bit to update, but your primary resource would be putting an eyeball on Prime's archive, see what he's got there. Of course, then, I like to post them in the Office Hours general channel following the office hours of a given day. There was a mildly frustrating period where I was skipping between putting them in the thread itself and putting them on the channel itself, which may have hurt discoverability, which is why I'm at this point pointing to moderation, or rather the Prime archive, which sounds much more official than I thought it was going to. Oh, yes, it looks... Here's the link to the Prime Archive, though. It looks like the moderation office hours have not been updated on there for a little bit of time. I will give a poke to Prime. Again, he's just come back. Give him a little bit of time. Yeah, putting an eyeball on the archive there, it looks like Prime has caught up to the beginning of March for both their own office hours and moderation. I imagine once he puts eyeballs on it, the rest of the recordings will follow suit. Again, if you want to get them earlier every single week, I try to get a recording put onto the office hours general chat following office hours shortly after or the next day. Within 24 hours is my goal. I'm going to try and keep it consistent to putting them in the Office Hours general channel rather than their individual threads, just for searchability going forward. Nuki says, note that the specific 15 minutes or so I'm looking for is your deep dive on the 16-plus rule. Understandable. I found that recording, so I'm confident that's not the week where we had technical issues. I'm going to, just to make things a little bit easier to find, post that along with the recording I post today after this office hours. So just keep an eyeball on office hours general, and you should be able to find that just a little bit later today. Traxxas says, they can hear now. Congratulations. Welcome to moderation office hours. I hope whatever weirdness Discord is doing stops being weird in the future. That's it. Glavin says, hello. There's a conversation that is taking place in the Office of Topics channel thread about communities and sessions that are actively hostile to certain types of users in Resonite. Could you take a look at it and shed some light on your thoughts on this? If this is not the place for such a thing, please feel free to read it with your team. I'm perfectly happy to dig through that thread, though if you're looking for questions here in Moderation Office Hours, I generally want something more specific. A question about something that is allowed, something that isn't allowed, what are the standards are. Reading through an entire thread just takes a little bit of time I otherwise might not have inside of the half-hour sessions for moderation office hours. So if there's like a specific standard that they find contentious in that thread, please clarify and ask, is this okay? Is this not okay? And I can give you an answer here. I will, after my moderation office hours is done, go back and read through the thread just to see if there's any significant problems there. Maybe lead off with a PSA next week if I think there's something that needs to be clarified right from the get-go. But those specific questions would be a good way to get at it, too. Electronics asks, I noticed that hidden worlds are not mentioned in the adult guidelines, and this has caused some confusion. For example, a friend has a headless that is marked registered users, and is hidden, and uses a cloud variable and a link card for access. One of the systems I tried to use in that world and deleted itself when brought out. So their creators of said systems said they did that because the hidden was not mentioned at all in guidelines. So I think a word or two got dropped somewhere in the sentence, but the idea here is that there's a hidden world that was open to registered and up users. You brought out a system that immediately deleted itself because it always deletes itself if it's not an, I assume, a private only world. If that's the case, I understand how that could happen. We certainly don't want to give you a specific set of worlds that meet the criteria for adult content so much as the criteria necessary to be acceptable. Hidden can be fine, assuming you're vetting the people coming in. What you need, as we've always tried to clarify, is that your world is not visible to the public, which could mean hidden, yes, or private, and that everyone present is 18 years of age, and consents to view the content. If the way you're bringing them into the world gets that consent and verifies their age, then you're fine. That's all right. Now, if people are making systems, I guess the general question is, can we clarify this inside of adult content itself? We can try and include some language that acknowledges that hidden counts as not being publicly viewed, but I do like the perspective of providing criteria. If the people who made that system are confused about it, I would encourage pointing them towards moderation office hours, where we've gone over this question a few times. But I can certainly consider adding a draft to the adult content guidelines to try and include some language there highlighting that hidden worlds meet the criteria, or may meet the criteria necessary to keep things out of public view. Nuki asks, how should mentors enforce the 16-plus rule? Is it okay for us to just ask every new user? Mentors don't need to enforce anything. You're certainly welcome to let people know that the incoming, or that the platform's only good for people 16 and up. If they mention they're not 16 and up, do let them know. You don't have to, but I would ask that you let them know. As for instructions on what you have to do, there are none, because you do not have an obligation to fulfill this. I don't want to hand out an instruction to mentors saying, please ask every user who comes onto the platform what their age is. That's not something I want to be handing out as an order. Mentors don't have that as an order. Mentors have no obligation to do so. If you become aware someone is not 16 years old, I would, like, it would be convenient to let them know that this platform expects people to be 16 and up, but you're again not obligated to do so. Kitnuki is also interested in a post in that thread. There is a fairly long post here. Is what would the short form question of the discussion be? Is I guess how I should ask this. Whip clarifies, the question is about a conversation regarding the Furry Free Zone session. The session itself has that title and a description explaining that furry avatars aren't allowed. Anyone is allowed to join, but if someone wears a furry or related avatar, they will manually kick them from their avatar and request them to equip a non-furry avatar. If they don't comply, I will usually result in a world kick. Is the question, is that session allowed? Because yes, while we do have rules relating to intolerance, they're tied to very specific groups that you would express intolerance toward, and fandom does not meet that criteria. You are allowed to have a world that doesn't allow anime avatars. You're welcome to have a world that doesn't allow furry avatars. You're welcome to have a world that doesn't allow robot avatars. You're welcome to have a world that doesn't allow skeleton avatars, but I'm unlikely to attend the last. I understand there's some contention here, and because you put a world that says, I don't want X type of fandom in it, please don't show up and talk about anime here, please don't show up and talk about furry fandom things here, might cause some obvious concerns or arguments, but that doesn't justify the host perhaps harassing users who come in. But they're more than encouraged, assuming they're not harassing them, to simply exercise their rights as a host. Remove them from the session, ban them if they continue to come in. Session moderation tools are there specifically to be used in that fashion. A Master asks, I do have a super specific question on your terms of service. Oh, those can be fun. Because I was rereading it to make sure what was allowed and not allowed. I just wish for clarification on this line in the prohibited activity section. Use a buying agent or purchasing agent to make purchases on the services. What does this mean exactly? Does that mean people can't buy things on my behalf? I am going to wave the white flag on this one. That is specific enough legalese. I don't want to just make a guess off the top of my head. If you'd like clarification for that in writing, where we can get a firmer answer, my general recommendation is to direct an inquiry to, let's say, the business email at Yellow Dog Man Studios, asking about that term of service, and then see if we can get you clarification over there in writing. That'll be a better answer than my best guess in this office hours. So, having spent a couple seconds to dig through the conversation happening in the office of topic, oh, we have questions, might narrow it down. Nuki says, to point something out that I think is an issue we're dancing around, certain groups like queer people tend to have certain traits like being a furry, which are more common than the general population. These traits have been weaponized in a way to exclude them without directly excluding them, or to game the system to have rules applied more harshly to that group. If we're aware, or since we become suspicious, that someone is misusing session tools to target a specific group that we would protect under intolerance guidelines, we will respond to that quite seriously. That's certainly something we were aware while crafting this. There's the old thing where the session host is kicking people seemingly at random, but it becomes apparent when you look into it, all of the people seem to have one singular trait, be it relating to race, orientation, or otherwise. And that's a thing we're going to come down on quite harshly if we become aware of it. But in the absence of that investigation bearing fruit, if a person is simply looking to remove a particular fandom from their session, they're welcome to do it. As the go-to example I tend to lean on a lot is a session that bans politics talk, because I know some people will find it just exhausting as the electoral season drags on, and they might want to have sessions where no politics happen in their session. Given Resonite's particular demographics, I anticipate that would be prohibiting one particular side of the political spectrum from talking a lot more than the other one, because we're just probably pretty heavily tilted in our community here. But if the person just doesn't want politic talk, that's fine. We might put an eyeball on it to make sure, again, it's not just a veneer for other behavior that could be problematic. But if we don't find anything that suggests that's the case, you are more than welcome to have a little sign at the front of your session that says, please keep politics at the front door. The election cycle is exhausting. And if you don't follow that order or that session rule, the host is more than welcome to kick or ban as applied, or as is appropriate. Nuki notes, noting that politics can range from screaming Nazi slogans to saying, I like boys, though, yeah, I've addressed that generally. Again, if it's targeting individuals, if it's a veneer, that's something that we're going to look into. Do submit a ticket if you think that that's happening in any case, and we will do our best to try and figure out what's going on and act accordingly. But I do want to reiterate again, you are capable of removing fandoms. You are capable of removing politics more broadly as a topic from your session. Glavin notes, politics talk is different from segregating people because of how they look or what species they are. I assume we are talking about avatars here. If one was targeting individual, well, as our guidelines are now being updated to note, certain immutable characteristics of an individual, that is certainly something that we're going to be treating under guidelines relating to intolerance. And we would take very serious response to that sort of behavior on platform. But fandoms, even fandoms that people find very important to them, are not something that we're currently protecting. I understand there are users that only want to be in one avatar. They only want to be in an anime avatar. They only want to be in a furry avatar. They only want to be in X, Y, or Z avatar. I'm one of those, frankly. I typically stay in one avatar the overwhelming majority of the time I'm present on platform. But that category isn't protected. Avatars, or avatars relating to a particular fandom, is just not meeting the criteria we're looking for when it comes to intolerant behavior on platform. Our general encouragement is to stay away from sessions where you're going to encounter individuals making a fight over that sort of behavior. The overwhelming majority of the sessions out there simply don't have any kind of avatar restrictions in that regard. Techno asks a follow-up question. Did I miss an earlier question from you, Techno? I apologize if I did. It has been a busy day and only one Canadian get to field answers. They say, can I get a clear answer to the I am wearing an avatar with full genitalia or blend shape deform hidden in a public world, but it's okay because I am covering it with clothing. If people are suggesting that is the case, it is not. Our general rule of thumb we use in-house in moderation when it comes to assessing avatars that contain some degree of adult content is no amount of trickery suffices to make the avatar viable in sessions that aren't rated for adult content. If you obscure it with another mesh, it's not enough. If you hide it, it's not enough. If you have a fancy system to delete it when it detects someone, it's not enough. You have one endorsed system that exists. The Resonite moderation team is all right. If you have an avatar which has adult content and you load it out in worlds that are appropriate for adult content, and then you have a separate avatar that has none of that and you load that one in public spaces, that is good. We endorse that. Everything else, no matter what system you're currently thinking of that might cover all possible use cases, I am not going to endorse it. Certainly not going to endorse. It's just obscured by another mesh. That is not sufficient. As a couple people are noting here, it's not okay because you're still redistributing meshes that contain adult content, potentially to minors. Yeah, this is at least part of the reasoning for why we absolutely do not consider that acceptable. Do not have adult content in your textures, do not have adult content in your meshes, or anywhere else on your avatar if you're in a session that is not rated for adult content. My genuine recommendation is to favorite an avatar that contains no adult content whatsoever. Use that in all of the sessions you wander through on Resonite, and if you go to a session that is rated for adult content, then change into another avatar that may contain it. That said, we have burned an extra 10 minutes worth. Okay, Cobalt Scythe asks, I assume this also counts, but even if the genitalia is on toggle. So this is why we lean on that somewhat silly sounding colloquial rule of thumb. No amount of trickery. Because there's a lot of different, what if I did X? What if I did Y? What if I did Z? The answer to all of those is no. No amount of trickery. I have a really cool system. That means I could... No. 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 That's not going to be endorsed by moderation, regardless of how clever the system is, regardless of how well it does its job. I am not going to endorse it. The one thing I endorse, again, is an entirely separate avatar containing that content that you load out when you're in a world that is appropriate for it. New key notes, I have a system to auto-delete the assets if anyone wants it, and as much as that is a clever system, it is not one that I endorse as a moderator for Resonite. If that system breaks because some update came down the line that makes it not work one day, and we get a ticket, and you say, but the system should have deleted it, I'm still going to hit you with warnings or account restrictions. I do not endorse that system. Again, we loop back many a time to no amount of trickery. That said, as I was beginning to say, we've flown past 10 minutes past. So I'm going to say, if you're asking a question right now, please continue to ask that question. But if you're not, hold on to it. I am going to be back, possibly with other moderators, next week. Same time, same location. We have to wrap this up at some point, folks. Alex2PI asks, what defines an adult thing? The creator of the system? No, we do. I've given you a link to the guidelines page where you will find a definition for adult content sitting near the back half of that page. And that's the definition for adult content. If the creator of the system does not agree with that definition, that is unfortunate, but we will still take action if it meets that criteria. as the conversation continues, there are a number of people who have done remarkably clever things on platform. You're just not going to get, I think the appropriate line to take is that you're not going to get moderator approval for any of them, and you use them at your own risk. That said, it does not look like we have any further questions coming down the roll, and I hope I didn't miss any. It has been a bit of a busy day. Thank you all for coming. It has been exciting. I hope you all have a fantastic weekend and week that follows. I will see you next Sunday, same time, same location. Goodbye, folks.